Michigan sports. Red Wings, Lions, Tigers, Pistons, Michigan, Michigan State, and the list goes on. And you love beer.
Love beer.
Who doesn't? What if we mixed the two together? This is State of My Sports. We'll talk everything Michigan sports, like only we do, and then we'll down our fair share of beer from a local brewery, grading the beer throughout the episode. So pop a cold one on your end, and we'll get busy on ours. This is the State of My Sports.
That's right, this is State of My Sports, and this is episode 157. We're out on the deck tonight. I mean, it was a beautiful night. A little chilly, but I think it'll be all right. I think we'll get through it. But we're going to have our DeHops Flight segment, which will include some Tigers chatter, the NBA, NHL playoff updates, and then, John, you didn't tell me what you were going to talk about, so I'm just going to be surprised, I guess, which I'm really good at being surprised. I love when
this is good
I
intervention.
Don't know what's going on. Yeah.
I thought this was just a group effort.
Yeah. The core of the episode, we're going to be talking the NFL schedule release, the Detroit Lions predictions, all that good stuff. We'll also prepare everyone for the NBA lottery results, which come out tomorrow. We are going to have our draft, our PGA Championship foursome in our Betting Hero segment. And, of course, we'll grade some great State of Michigan craft beer. If you're joining us live on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, or Twitch, please let us know and be part of the conversation. We'll read the comments and get you part of it. Ask us questions. Tell us when we're right. Tell us when we're wrong. Or at least tell Ryan when he's wrong, because I'm never wrong. I think that's how it works. But
yep, that's fair.
Yeah.
Right. I'll take it.
Before we jump in, I did want to give a quick shout-out to our sponsors that help keep this thing rolling and free. For our listeners, DeHops Brewing Company and Cafe is the official brewery of State of My Sports. Mac Web Design helped us get our website up and running, and Betting Hero helps us and you get the best promos available in the sports betting world. How was your guys' week? John, what'd you use this past week? Anything exciting?
Man, I got the dust off the golf clubs a lot. I played Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of last week.
Really?
Went to the range twice.
You just dialed in?
Just wanted to get a couple cuts in, you know. Yeah.
How's joint, the lower back feel?
Oh, dude, the shoulders are hurting too. Like yeah. The ribs a little bit. It's like a lot of twisting. Now Friday just played in you play your own ball. It was a skins tournament on Friday.
So shirts were skins?
Something like that, yeah. But no, I ended up shooting like an 84. Didn't play very good.
Okay.
I don't know. We kind of played double bogey max rule too, so we kept playing along kind of quick. But yeah, I mean, Wednesday was nice. Thursday was slow. Expected at golf league on Thursday nights. A lot of old guys in that league.
Nice. I want to get out on the golf course. You want to get out on the golf course?
Yeah, I'd love to.
I got a membership at Western because I'm playing in both leagues, and the owner said he was going to send me a bunch of passes too because I paid for a single membership, and it was like
late
in the year. So
yeah.
He was like, get some of your buddies out and
that'd be fun.
You know, at least get them here and buy some beers, and they can play golf with you.
Hey, tell me when.
As soon as those come through via email, I'll let you guys know.
Maybe we'll give some away for our listeners.
No chance.
We'll invite a few out, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Ryan, what was your week like? Actually, you weren't here last week, so you can tell us about 2 weeks of your life.
Had a good week last week. Played softball, and
that's up and running.
Yeah, that got up and running. It was second week for them. My first game playing with them, and I'm still feeling it. I for whatever reason, like, I felt fine. Was sore the next day. The second day, my lower back's like tightening up a little bit. Third and fourth day, I was like, okay, I can't really bend down and pick things up very
start
well.
Start stretching before the game.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Getting to that age.
Yeah, and then today was so bad that I just like called the chiropractor, got in there. He like, he's like, oh yeah, you're all out of whack. So he like put everything back in alignment, and now I'm in that stage of like I feel vulnerable. I feel like I could break at any moment. You know what I mean? Like after where you just like
after
get cracked, and then you're just like, don't move the wrong way. Right. Like you feel super loose and everything feels pretty good, but it's like scary.
Yeah. So what time is your game tomorrow?
8:45.
Nice. Need a sub or no? You good?
I don't think we need a sub.
Dang
yeah.
It.
Yeah.
Where are you playing at?
Field.
Shots on West River Drive.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. Those
on Tuesdays
back there. Yep.
Okay. I got invited to play. tomorrow night at Shots.
Did you? What time?
Since the
8:30?
Podcast changed. No. But it ends up being a triple header, 5:45, 6:45, 7:45.
Whoa.
I was like, I don't think I'm going to just come out of retirement to play three games.
Some of those some of those teams prefer just being like, hey, we just want triple headers for four straight weeks or five straight weeks, get all their games in right away, and then wait for the playoffs.
Yep.
And then they tell their wives that they still have games every week.
Yeah. They just meet up at Shots.
Hang out at the bar. Yeah.
Yeah, we had our men's league championship last night, and we won. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, for hockey?
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah. That was the only exciting thing that happened this week.
I heard about that.
Did you?
Yeah, Easton was like, my dad's a champ. My dad's a champion. His team won.
Pumped. I played so
Before
bad.
Before you're even home, too.
Yeah. I played so bad, man. I just can't do what I used to. Like, my mind says I'm going to do one. Like, I tried giving the game away before it even started.
What?
I made some passes that I was just like, what am I doing? And I feel like everybody else was saying, what is he doing? But they're nice about it, which is good. But
was that during warm-ups?
No, it was. I think it was my first shift. I made some really boneheaded plays.
So what is it? What's wrong?
I don't know. I really don't know.
Confidence?
Mentality? My confidence is low. I can't stick handle. Like, I just lose the puck in the most random times where I used to just... I don't know. I just got to get on the ice more is what I got to do.
You're not thinking of Dylan Larkin too much while you're out there, are you?
I might be. I mean, I'm thinking I'm close to his caliber, so, I mean, I feel like it's close. But,
yeah.
We make similar mistakes, but I also am not the captain.
Leadership-based.
I'm also not the captain, so, I'm allowed to do that kind of stuff. But I did score, which felt good, but...
You also lost here a point on your score. Carrie's chiming in.
Uh-oh.
You also watched Max's game.
Yes, that's true. Max had a good game.
Bad uncle for not finding that exciting, huh?
Well, I had a good time watching Max, for sure. I love watching Max. I do.
For the record.
Yeah. I forgot. Sorry.
Was he pitching?
He didn't pitch in baseball. So I watched his baseball game on Friday, I think. And then they played pretty well, and then he played good. He didn't hit well, though. He struck out a few, but that was fine. I don't know what's going on, but is that it? Are people hearing that? Doesn't matter. Let's just move on.
I hope not.
But then hockey game out in Muskegon, his team, they usually don't score a lot of goals, but they did pretty well, I guess. I forget how many they had. Six? I think they lost 11 to... 6 or 10-6 maybe, but yeah, that was fun too. Sorry, Carrie.
Nice.
What are you drinking tonight, Carrie? Get ready. But my DeHops flight segment. What I wanted to talk about was our draft that we did for the NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs. So we'll start with the NHL playoffs. The teams that are left, you got Colorado and the Florida Panthers, and I'm going to go in order for favorites to win this the whole thing here. You got Colorado left at +210. Florida Panthers +370, Hurricanes +500, Calgary +600, Tampa Bay +750, Edmonton +1400, Rangers +1400, and then the St. Louis Blues +1700. Ryan, you have Colorado and Carolina and the New York Rangers left. I have the Florida Panthers and St. Louis Blues, and Micah has the Flames, Lightning, and Oilers. So he's going to get a team in the next round with the Oilers and Flames playing each other. Have you guys watched any of the playoffs, the NHL playoffs?
I've tried to keep up on the highlights. I haven't watched a game live yet, but I know I'm missing out because these games look insane.
This has been one of the best playoffs I remember in a very long time. And I feel like...
How many seven-game series?
They had 5 7-game series.
Oh, my gosh.
I think it was 5.
Out of 6? Or 8? Probably 8?
8. So it must have been 6 out of... Yeah, it was 5. It was 5. So you had 3 one night and 2 the next night.
Yeah.
And then I think there was one sweep. Colorado swept the Predators.
Yep.
And everything else went 6 games or more.
Jeez.
Which is crazy. I mean, these games, and all the games have been so good as well, which is just so much fun to watch. And I sit and watch these hockey games. Obviously, I'm a hockey guy. I like hockey more than any other sport. But I just feel bad for people that don't sit and watch these games. And they're missing out because you watch from the second that they start their broadcast, and then people are like getting pumped. Like the openings for these games, the national anthems that they play, these stadiums are so electric. It is and it's from start to finish. It is so much fun to watch, and I just cannot wait to get that taste of the Red Wings to do this, because they're gonna fill the stadium when they're finally good enough, and that place is gonna be loud. It's a loud stadium. The way that it's built, it can get really loud, but it just hasn't yet. So I'm assuming it can get loud. I think it can.
And just the style of hockey too. Playoff hockey is a new caliber. It's just a new level of the puck handling and the crispiness of these passes that are getting through and the goals that they're scoring, and
the talent level is unbelievable.
On top of the physicality just going through the roof.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't happen the whole time through the regular season. You got your hits, you got your random fights, you got your guys that are just out there for that pure reason.
Yep.
Now it's everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody's running at anyone they can.
Yeah,
and they're standing up for their teammates when they're down, and if the game's getting close. Yeah. They're trying not to make mistakes.
It's so much fun. And I would rather the Red Wings be in it. But when the Red Wings aren't in it, I just sit back and enjoy so much more. Because, like, when the Red Wings are in it, I just get so emotionally drained by the end of the night. I'm just like, all right, I'm not going to watch any more hockey. But, like, now I can just sit back and enjoy it. And game sevens in hockey are the best. They're better than any other thing. Unless your team's in it, then it actually kind of sucks.
Without, like, looking at the teams that you guys picked prior to the playoffs, are there any teams, like, on that lower half of the odds that, like, could maybe sneak in there and challenge a team like Colorado or challenge a team like maybe Florida?
You know, I think this is pretty deep. Like, what you have left is pretty – I think Colorado is head and shoulders better than everybody. But, I mean, they were – was it a seven-game series? No, they swept, but – they were close games against Nashville and stuff, so it wasn't like that big of a blowout. And I don't remember who they have this second round. They have St. Louis, right?
I believe so.
St. Louis is a team that, I mean, they shouldn't keep up, but they have they're a good defensive team, and their goalie can stand on his head when he's healthy and playing good, Binnington. So that will be interesting to see if they can kind of keep up with them. And Colorado's been known to blow it, even when they are one of the best teams. So when it comes to hockey, it's I mean, and then you got Florida against Tampa Bay. I mean, to say Tampa Bay can't win that series would be moronic. Everybody knows that it's possible. Florida just went in a seven-game series against one of the worst teams that made the playoffs. So it's like, I don't know, anything's possible. It's just really, really fun. And then you got the battle for Alberta with Calgary and Oilers. Man, that's going to be such a fun series. I hope I can stay up and watch those games, but we'll see. I mean, it's so much fun. And then you got the NBA on the other hand. That's like, geez, you had two game sevens.
Two game sevens, and they were just the worst games.
They were like 40-point blowouts, I think.
Yeah.
Is it this cord right here?
I think it is, yeah.
Is it? Yeah.
It's better. If you want me to put it over here, you just let me do it.
Yeah, yeah, we can do that. You know how to do it, right?
No.
Well, I do it. I'm excellent at it. Sometimes I explain how good I am at it before I do it.
Yeah,
so.
That's what I'll do.
I mean, yeah.
Take your lead.
Exactly.
Sometimes he calls the drop before he hits the button. You know?
I do, exactly.
And outro with fade.
Yeah. yeah, but the NBA, so they're in the conference finals now. You got Golden State against Dallas.
Yeah, Golden State just beat the Grizzlies. That was a tough series. I mean, Golden State had to earn that one. They won it in six, but...
lost a player doing it, right? Gary Payton Jr.?
Yep, that was nasty.
I heard that was pretty physical series.
Yeah.
It was.
It started off that way.
Yeah. Then it kind of died down pretty quick, I think, right?
Yep.
But then, so, Ryan, you have Golden State, and John, you have Dallas. So, I mean, those are... You guys got a battle there against each other?
Micah. Yeah, Celtics.
Sorry, Micah. Micah has Warriors, and John has Dallas.
Yeah, but, I mean, last year's finals, right? Suns and the Bucks.
Both gone.
So
I was looking back at...
before the conference championships, it's rare in basketball.
I was looking at our picks, right? And you know how NBA... I always make the joke that everybody knows who's going to win the NBA finals before the NBA finals even starts. You have two or three teams that are going to win it and everybody else. Our first four picks, all eliminated already. John had the fifth overall pick. Right?
Yeah.
And you had the Mavericks. That was the first one to...
Reached on Dallas.
Yeah, you reached on Dallas. And then...
it's like a sleeper.
Yeah. It's crazy.
I wanted to put money on that, too. I'm a huge Luka Doncic fan.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy can just do everything on the court. And if there's one team that has one guy that can carry them through the playoffs, it's Dallas.
Man, he's a difference maker.
He proved it.
He's so good.
Yeah. And
he's
unguardable. Now that he's finally healthy in the playoffs, it's nice. Which he wasn't at the beginning of the year, right? Or the beginning of the playoffs?
He missed the first three games.
Yeah. And then weren't they down
beginning of the year, he was just out of
down,
shape.
Down 2-1, they brought him in. Who did they have?
I don't remember who they were playing.
Oh, of the first matchup?
West Coast.
Clippers, maybe?
No, I thought they got eliminated in the
Minnesota.
No, the
T-Wolves? I'm just throwing off teams.
Just keep naming them.
Yeah, I'll just keep
going. We'll get there eventually. what do you guys think the matchup's going to be in the finals there out of these two matchups?
I mean, Golden State and Dallas is going to be a really fun one to watch.
Yeah.
They're both really high profile. You know, Luka versus Steph.
Yeah.
And then you have, you know, Steph's got all of his guys that have been there, done that, and then Luka's got his cast of misfits of, like, you know, Spencer Dinwiddie and gang that just they just go out. I don't know. Luka just has his hands on every reason why they're good. Like, he's an incredible player. He really is.
Yeah.
Reggie Bullock, too, I believe.
Reggie Bullock,
playing for the Mavs. So, like, all these ex-Pistons, like, it makes that even a little more intriguing in a way.
Huh.
I think the Warriors might have a leg up from, like, within their locker room. They think so. But I don't think there's a lot of pressure on Luka in this. I think the Mavericks in general, I think they're playing without pressure. I think they're the underdogs. They know it. They can just go out there and play free. And so I'm thinking the beginning of this series is going to be really important. If the Warriors get a little bit tight, Dallas might jump all over them and make this a short series.
Yeah.
If the Warriors embrace it and Steph is, you know, hot shooting right away and controlling the ball, then it's going to be a really good series.
Is it a chance that Golden State's just that much better and will be that much better and it'll be like a sweep? Because, like, I feel like you get these, like, this is going to be a good matchup in basketball, but it's just there's an X factor that's just hands down the best thing. I would assume that it's a Klay Thompson and Steph Curry, even Jordan Poole, like having that trio.
Diddy.
Castro?
Yeah, Harold Castro, baby.
Crushed Harold.
It. Top of the ninth.
Love it. Other than my bad.
I think third quarter is key for both of these teams. Warriors have dominated the third quarter through their entire stretch. Ever since Steph Curry got there, third quarter has been their difference maker. So whoever wins the battle of the third quarter in this will win the series, because the Mavericks are the same way. They score a lot, and for whatever reason, making your halftime adjustments third quarter with big time scoring teams seems to be the quarter that you have to win.
Yeah. So then on the other side, you got the Heat versus Celtics. Definitely the lower, I think intriguing matchup, probably, just because I don't know. You got the two stars, I guess, if you will, on one side, but then it's like just two really good teams here, right, that people probably should have expected to be here but didn't in a lot of ways, too.
I wanted Boston with my third pick, but Ryan took him right before me. Jason Tatum is legit. He is a superstar in the making. And this is going to be an old-school brand of basketball, that matchup. Those are two teams that would rather play good defense than have to rely on stellar offense to get through a series.
Jimmy Butler and Marcus Smart. They're the they're what make these guys go, both of those teams. And they're the energy, they're tough, physical. I mean, like Marcus Smart, I don't even think he's that good of a basketball player, but he's one of those guys. He's like a Draymond Green type. He's a Lance Stevenson type. Like, I don't remember him back in the day for some of those, but
yeah,
like Ron Artest, you know, he's just an instigator.
He can lock you up, he can be physical, but he can get in your head.
That's his aim.
He cannot touch you all game, but he'll be in your head.
Yeah, and then guys like Tyler Hero, he's going to play a huge part in this series overall. Yeah. And then I think Jaylen Brown, I really don't even know if Jason Tatum is the best player on the Celtics, because Jaylen Brown is legit. And if he gets hot, from that, like, deep 2 and 3-point shots, like, watch out, because Celtics can beat anybody.
What would be your dream matchup for the championship?
I don't know. I think the Heat and Mavericks would be fun, just because I like the individual player. Like, I'm a Tyler Hero fan. I like the way he plays basketball. But whatever combo you have here works in my mind. I really think, because we have four newer teams, and Warriors, I mean, they're not new. They've been here, done that. But this brand of the Warriors feels new.
Yeah.
And it's their, like, redemption tour and everything. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Yeah, they're proving that they can do it without KD right now. You know, KD left, and that put a sour taste in the mouth of that organization in a way. They wanted to pay the guy. They wanted him to stick around, but he went to New Jersey to do his own thing, you know, run the ball with Kyrie. I would love to see Dallas versus Boston.
Yeah.
Honestly. I think of Boston, obviously, historically a great team in NBA. They've been there a lot. I just like to see those young guys, that core that they've held on to. I also mad respect to Al Horford still out there humping and puffing, running up and down the court, and having impacts in these games and these series. So it'd be cool to see him get in, but I'm just pulling for Luka, man. The Mavs, that second pick, I'm just pulling for them.
I think the biggest win for the NBA is if the Celtics get there, because they have more brands that they can, the storylines and everything with Jason Tatum, with Jaylen Brown, those two guys, and you know how they're trying to come back from everything. They were about to break up the entire team midseason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's why I also think, like, stop overreacting. All of you teams out there that want to overreact and like disband and fire coaches and always trade your high assets to start over with rookies. It's like teams do it way too fast. And I think Mavericks and the Celtics, and really the Heat, like, they're all kind of proving that this year.
Yeah.
Just calm down a little bit.
So, John, what was your flight topic for the day? Did you
I
have guess one?
I was going to carry on with a little bit of NBA talk, something Perfect. That's come up. You know, the Pat Beverly. You guys know who Pat Beverly is, right?
Oh, yeah. I know you're going with this.
So, he was on, was it ESPN, like, Countdown or whatever for basketball, and he talked about, he literally ripped Chris Paul for his performance in that last game. For the Phoenix Suns, and kind of for the, I guess, honestly, in his career as a whole. Went as far as to say is he wouldn't even, like, go to bed early if he knew he had to guard him the next day. Like, he'd stay up late and eat and get feeling nasty and still be fine. Sweat it out before the game and still lock him down. Pretty much discrediting his whole career, which I think is, it's interesting from Pat Beverly to do that, but that's just the type of guy he is. I think he's just trying to stay in the headlines as long as he can, because he hasn't done anything but be that kind of player.
Yeah.
You know, Chris Paul has had an illustrious career. He's just known for coming up short in big games.
Yeah. Now, last year seemed to be like his, like, redemption story, right? Like, it was not expected. Like, when they made the run to the finals, but what did they lose in? Was it seven? They did lose in game seven, didn't they?
The Phoenix Suns.
Yeah, to the Bucks.
Six.
Yeah, I think it
was
six.
They got 2-0 and then lost four.
Yeah.
Okay. But, like, it feels like the league changed. Like, I feel like there's always been that view of him, of, like, just a me guy, kind of selfish.
Yeah, going back to the Clippers.
Yeah.
Well, it was more of not being able to pull off the big games. It wasn't selfishness.
No.
It was, like, underperforming in the biggest moments.
Okay.
Or being hurt or sick. Yeah. Maybe he wasn't at the time. But then that was kind of countered by Matt Barnes, longtime player in the NBA. I don't know. He had a stint with, like, the LA Kings, a couple other teams. He bounced around. He was also known for his defense, locking guys up and trying to get in their heads. He came out and ripped Pat Beverly for doing such. And, you know, kind of, again, diminishing his career in a way, because Pat Beverly hasn't really done much. He had a couple little flashes here and there, right, with the teams that he's bounced around to. Some teams love him. He's also been known to be kind of a poison in the locker room.
Okay.
So I thought it was just kind of ironic that another player that's currently in the NBA who's played against Chris Paul is out there just ripping him the way he was on national TV.
What is your stance on Chris Paul?
I like Chris Paul. I mean, I've always just thought he's had a pure game. He's kind of dirty. He's been known to flail a big toe every now and then and catch guys below the belt.
Yeah.
But he's a little guy out there amongst big men, and he's always he's kind of consistent, but not consistently great.
Yeah.
Never been the great. But I think arguably, he'll go down as like a top 10 point guard of all time.
Yeah.
And that's with all these young guys coming up.
He clearly plays a winning game of basketball, like brand of basketball.
Yep.
He's had too much success in regular seasons. And that I mean, look, you put him on the Pistons, they're a much better team right away just because of his decision-making. But overall, I think what Beverly was talking about is defense, too. Like he said, they called him what, like a cone? They called him cone?
Yeah.
You know why? Because when you go on a court and there's a cone in front of you, what do? You go around the cone. It's like part of the drill.
Yeah.
So that's all you have to do with Chris Paul. You just go around him because he can't move. And I've always thought that Chris Paul's defense was overrated. And personally, like, just because a guy gets a lot of steals doesn't mean that he plays good defense.
Okay.
And I think some guys, like maybe even like Killian Hayes this year. He started getting steals by the end, but like overall,
first we got a helicopter heading over.
Well, you
probably see our lights sound down here. Yeah, like, what's going on over here?
Yeah, he's gonna land.
A bigger
here.
Part of the game is staying in front of people, and Chris Ball's never really done that. He just plays passing lanes. He's smart, so he can go steal balls and like bounce passes down to the bigs or whatever. But yeah, I think his point was that like, you know, they've got beef.
Yeah,
back and forth. It's personal between them. So he took his shot, and he made sure everybody heard.
And, like, reached out to other players in the NBA, too, and, like, brought up other names. I think he brought up Paul George, too. Like, hey, I hit up my buddy Paul, and he said, too, same thing. Like, we're not nobody's afraid of Chris Paul.
Yeah, shouldn't have done that.
We can go out and defend him and make him look foolish on defense on his part.
Yeah.
That doesn't surprise me about Pat Beverly, though.
Hey, I forget. He's
a clown.
Yeah, he was. Like, he said something about, like, you know, going to Phoenix, there's, like, some – famous like steakhouse in town. Like I'd go there at 8 p.m. before a game, the night before a game, load up, get greasy, have some wine, feel like crap, go to bed late, wake up late, get to the arena right on time for walkthroughs, and I'd be able to, you know. But other guys, heck no. You know, I gotta go to, he said, if they're playing Golden State and he's got to guard Steph Curry, he's going to bed by 6 p.m. the night before.
Yeah.
You know, like getting his rest. So I just thought it was kind of interesting, you know, that they're kind of kicking a guy when he's down, and it's on the tail end of his career. And again, he's just come up short in these big games and big matchups.
Yeah, definitely not a good look for him to go out of Phoenix. I'm sure he's going to move on to another team and do the same thing. But
get to the playoffs and then lose.
What's your topic today, Ryan?
I was going to bring up the pitching staff for the Tigers.
Okay.
Just how
– like kind of how the injuries are unfolding and what they're using or what?
Yeah, I mean, so we know, you know, Matt Manning, Casey Mize, you know, both of them are injured right now. They were injured really early in the season. Casey Mize has 10 innings pitched, Matt Manning 8.
Which Casey Mize just got a setback from what I heard.
He had his first rehab start, and it looked like he got roughed up a bit. Didn't feel good.
Yeah,
so he's shut down for a little period of time now, too. Tyler Alexander, he's down. I don't even know some of the other injuries. Michael Pineda is third on the team in innings pitch, and he just went down too.
Yeah. Did they ever say what the injury was?
It had to have been broken hand.
Yeah, it looked like it, way he was holding it.
Yeah, he was just like letting it hang there.
Yeah.
But I just want to bring up, like, you know, at the beginning of the year when we were looking at potential guys to come up, like Bo Brisky was the minor league pitcher of the year last year. This time last year, he was pitching for the Whitecaps.
Yeah.
And right now, he's fourth on the team in innings pitched. 21 innings pitched. He's got an 0-2 record, but, you know, with, you know, Tigers right now, that's not saying a lot. But he's got a 3.86 ERA, 1.19 whip, and he really is – he's a gamer.
Well.
Yeah, like he's – I like what he brings. Like he's getting roughed up in the first inning, and then he's extending out to 5 innings. He's extending to 6 innings.
Against Houston – or was it the – man, I think his most recent start was just awful. Like 35 pitches in the first inning.
Yeah.
And he still got through six.
Six
it was
innings.
Insane.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was awesome.
I like the way he's battling. And then Alex Fiedo, you know, Alex Fiedo is now fifth on the team in innings pitched.
What are the odds of that?
This early. If you would have said that, like, you know, Bo Brisky, Alex Fiedo, who else is on here? I've got. And then frick, what's his name?
Which
lefty?
Skubal?
Big lefty.
Skubal.
No, well, Tarek Skubal, you know, he's got a 2.5 ERA right now, 1.08. He's looking like
he's
a true ace.
Absolute stud.
Right?
No.
He's got more strikeouts than innings pitch. He's got 45 strikeouts, 39 2/3 innings pitch, and he only has 8 walks, and he had 2 in his last inning. So he was at 6 walks before that.
Wow.
Like, this guy is a gamer. He's had 2 straight games without giving up a run.
He was lights out yesterday. He was electric.
What, did he have 10, 11 strikeouts?
Yeah. 11 strikeouts, tied a career high.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so I think, you know, this is a little, I guess, we're weathering a storm right now. We're getting through something. All the injuries have stacked up so much. All these young guys have come up, and we've needed them to get us through some of these innings. Our bullpen is lights out. Our bullpen is great. But more than that, we're building depth within the team right now. And I get the record is not great. We did just sweep the Orioles, not seeing a lot, you know, a whole lot because it's the Orioles, but it's still a sweep. We'll take it.
Yep. And, you don't apologize for something like that.
And we're doing that with like a pitching staff that I've said is so undermanned right now. We have young AA and AAA type pitchers who are getting valuable experience in the bigs while our other guys rest up and come back. So when all the dust settles, I think we are going to be better off for this in the end. We're going to see that all the depth that we were building through the minor leagues have that big league experience, and now we can start, you know, using the most effective guy and not worrying about the big name or not.
Kyle said, for the show's sake, we need to start calling him Bo Brewski.
Brewski.
Not bad.
And yeah, then he just backed that up by saying the Yankees look strong right now.
Yeah, he said that last week, too. He just keeps talking about it. I don't know what his deal is.
A lot of run support in New York with that small ball field,
right?
I think.
Oh my gosh.
That's the unfortunate thing is that our offense has literally supplied nothing for these
guys.
That's
one of the best bets in baseball right now is Yankees minus 1.5. Day in and day out.
Yeah.
Do it. Oh, my gosh. I never do it, but I know that it would work if I did, because I almost do it every time. Instead, I take the Tigers to lose by 2.5, and now
you hear that, Kyle? Just do it. Just take it.
Just do it.
No, it'll be interesting to see how this team unfolds. And I think as bright as the pitching has been, the hitting's been a disaster. It seems to be spiking up a little bit here, which is good, but we'll see.
Thanks to Cabrera. I mean, he's been our most consistent guy. Like, he's kind of coming out of nowhere with this stuff. And
is that
a walk-off?
Nope. End of the game.
End of the game?
Game over. Nice. Tigers win again.
It's a nice win.
Beat the Rays. And look, you know, it's tough for hitters at this time of year in Detroit, and they had a long homestand, and it was cold for a little while there. And if you're a hitter playing in this nasty weather with a wood bat, people don't get it. People don't get how much that hurts. It's just not easy, and I get everybody has to do it, but it's not easy.
Yeah.
So we're seeing guys like Willie Castro step up. Cabrera's been hitting the ball really, really well. Scope's finally turning the corner.
Candelario's picking it up.
Candy's starting to pick it up. I think once all of those guys now turn into what we know they are, we're going to see.
The water finds its level. Hopefully.
Yeah, exactly. You know, this is a better start than last year.
But it was almost the same.
It's almost identical.
It was one game to being identical, and then they won 3 straight.
Yeah, exactly.
Before we move on from our DeHops Flight segment, I did want to remind everyone that DeHops Brewing Company is serving incredible food and pouring some of the best craft beer in West Michigan. Chef Dan's revamped food menu and head brewer Ben's rotating taps, wine, and ciders make DeHops perfect for whatever you have going on, from dinner with the family, late night drinks with friends, and everything in between. The Ben and Dan duo is putting a ton of their time and energy at making DeHops a staple in the West Michigan restaurant and brewery community that we highly recommend to our friends and listeners. They have Taco Tuesday, Stein Night Wednesday, Thursdays, any burger and beer for $15, along with some unbelievable specials on Fridays and Saturdays. We highly recommend following them on Instagram and Facebook, where they share their weekly specials and some incredible food pictures that will make your mouth water. DeHops is the official brewery of State of My Sports for 2022. And if you mention State of My Sports, you'll get a nice little discount off your first beer. While we're talking about beer, let's introduce what we are drinking tonight. No bumper for this one.
No bumper?
No okay. bumper for this one. That's kind of the bumper is the read.
Oh, got
so
it.
So then you can just...
Right.
Yeah.
I started it, so...
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, there's a good bumper.
That was
perfect.
Actually great.
That was
live.
Excellent. Oh, shoot. I got to pull up what we're drinking. Can you guys tell everybody what we're drinking while
that's
I pull
live
up?
And hot.
What's going on here?
John, you've got the pronunciation on this thing down.
Haze, you guys.
So that's obviously... So one thing, what was the one that we did before? Anyways. All right. Pigeon Hill Brewery, Brewing Company out of Muskegon, Michigan. This is their big one, you know. I think what Muskegon's doing in general is freaking awesome. I haven't been there in about a year, but I remember going and I was shocked of how nice it was and how much they have going up and stuff like that. It was really cool. But so Pigeon Hill, check out all their stuff. They also sell some beer at the Deck, which is also in Muskegon on that beachfront restaurant, which is awesome.
I love that place.
I love that place
the Deck,
too.
Yeah.
Really good.
Solid place to check out some live music every now and then, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, and then you got Dockers right around the corner too. I love Muskegon.
Muskegon's
I love that
great.
Area.
Yeah,
I would rather go to Muskegon Beach than Grand Haven any day.
We never go to Grand Haven.
It's the worst.
Yeah, we go to Muskegon every time.
I would rather go to Holland or Muskegon.
Yep.
Which I would choose Muskegon over Holland yet too, for the beach. You know.
Yeah.
I like the town of Holland, like the downtown area. That's pretty nice too, but. We're losing track here of what we're talking about. But Haze, you guys, is an experimental IPA brewed with Idaho 7 and Continental hops. This smooth beer is chock full. So it says C-H-O-C-K. Is that right? I always thought it was chock full.
Like, no, it's like chock.
Is it really?
It's chock, yeah.
I always thought it was like chalk. Didn't you? I thought it was chock full.
I don't know. I can't.
Of orange, melon, and resiny.
Chopped full, right? Chopped?
Chopped, yeah. So we got three answers here. The smooth beer is chock full of orange, melon, and a resiny notes. 6.7% alcohol by volume. It is available in the tap room. You can pick it up at, I think, actually Micah picked this one up from Total Wine. So shout out to Total Wine. Not that they're paying us for a shout out, but
we need to go talk to them.
We should. That'd be a great time. It'd be interesting.
I need to get to know.
And you
all
go
those
out
guys.
There enough too, right?
Oh yeah.
So you could pick up the beer if we had it, the sponsorship.
Heck yeah, that'd be like my reason to leave early. Oh guys, I got a responsibility.
Yeah. That'd be
I'd
awesome.
Come back with way too expensive wine on a regular basis.
I got to go out there. I have yet to go out there. But
you haven't been there?
No, I need to.
Yeah.
I've been tempted.
We should
and they were
do
talking,
a double date. We should have a double date and just go out to Total Wine.
That'd be fun. Then there's that place, Smoky Bones.
Yeah,
Smoky Bones. Total Wine. Not bad.
A couple weeks ago, Wine got the best of you, Sam. So
Wine did?
Yeah, right?
Yeah, that's right.
I had a couple glasses before the podcast. But what do you guys think so far of this beer?
Just three or four glasses.
Yeah, only.
Yeah, this is good.
I like it's very citrusy. Yeah. I love the citrus flavor to
especially
it,
especially this
sure.
time of year. I think summer. I got a little sunburnt today.
Yeah,
so this is taking the edge off of
what
that.
What were you doing today? Were you golfing again today?
No, I just had the day off from work. Nice. Took the dog for a nice walk. Went and had lunch over by Lowell Ada area.
Oh, where'd you go?
We were actually at Big Boiler Brewing.
Oh, really?
In Lowell.
I've never been there.
It's great. Great food. Excellent food. I did not.
No?
I did not. I just had a water today.
Gotcha.
A little hot, a little dehydrated.
Preparing for the podcast.
They have a fried chicken sandwich that is incredible.
Yeah?
Yes.
We're going to have to get some of their beer, too.
They have good beers. I have gone there and
tasted
a few. They have a couple good IPAs. I think one double that was really good as well. But we're not the only one. Yeah, we're not. No, not as good as the Double Hutch. Speaking of that, last weekend. Or last week. It was a little.
Yeah.
Felt a little rough again. But we're not the only one drinking a hazy IPA tonight.
Okay.
Carrie is sipping on from Three Floyds Brew Pub their Barbarian Haze IPA.
Three Floyds. Interesting. I'm going to have to try that one.
Yeah, where are they from, Carrie? Let us know. And Kyle's just coming in hot and wants to know what other cities you enjoy, Sam.
What other cities I enjoy? I like
Muskegon.
Yeah.
I like
north of that.
Walker.
Ludington. Ludington's nice.
I like Ludington. I'm okay with Ludington. I think it's a little overrated. Ludington's also flavor is a little overrated. If you ask me.
I agree with that.
Like I don't know. I don't think it's the. I would rather go to Muskegon than Ludington. I'd rather go to Holland than Ludington.
I like Ludington.
Do you?
Yeah, yeah.
I like getting
it's
north.
It's different, too.
Yeah. I like the lake water and the beaches when you go north of town.
Yeah.
There's a little hidden gem beach that I went to last summer, kind of found on a whim. And not that it's like a cool town or anything, nothing to really do, but a good beach to go to. I think it's called Minert Park, M-E-I-N-E-R-T, Minert Park. There's like an RV campground and everything there, too, but the beach is awesome. And you can wade out so far from shore.
What area is that in?
It's
Is it like Holland?
No. Nope. It's north of like Montague.
Okay.
Montague.
Montague.
Silent G.
Where's that one that's good for the kids? Or what's that one called? It's like a beach where it's like it's really cool because like the water comes into like a little area, and then it just gets really warm.
I don't know.
Oh my gosh! It's like a
not familiar with that one.
Oh, my gosh.
Not up by, like, Sleeping Bear Dunes, is it?
It's north. It's kind of, like, a little north of Muskegon, I think.
Just a little, like, Whitehall area?
Yeah.
Like, White Lake is right there, and it goes out right out to the lake. But that's not the same.
I think there's, like, a Duck Lake State
Duck
Park.
Lake. Yeah. Duck Lake. Thank you.
You park on the other side of the channel.
I kept thinking Pigeon.
Pigeon Hill.
Pigeon Creek or something. Like, I don't
love
know.
Love Muskegon, by the way.
Pigeon Creek's down by, or Pigeon Lake is down just north of Holland.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, Duck Lake. That's the one that I was thinking of.
But Kerry said maybe Silver Lake. Who knows? There's a lot of lakes.
Silver Lake, I've been there. Land of lakes
up here in the north.
So many lakes. I wonder if we have more lakes than Minnesota.
I don't think so.
I know that they have the... I think we do, actually.
Lakes?
Look up how many... While we do a bumper and start talking the Lions conversation, I want to see how many lakes are in Minnesota and how many lakes are in Michigan.
It's not going. It's not connected. We turned it off.
Is the volume all the way down?
I don't know.
Check the volume. This is so good. Well, check the volume of the iPad, maybe?
I don't do this, Sam. We could just... We love beer like a fat kid loves cake. All right. That's... It's not working.
So we're gonna have to get that figured out before the outro, though. Sports in the state of Michigan. Oh, there we go. You're listening to State of My Sports. Did I plug it into the wrong one? Maybe.
All right.
Anyways,
moving on to our first segment
topic thing. We're gonna have to move pretty quick, but I think these will go pretty quick, right? The Detroit Lions schedule, and really the NFL schedule as a whole, came out, and the Lions are going to open up at home against the Philadelphia Eagles, and they move on to the Washington Redskins. They got their first division game at the Vikings, and then they play the Seahawks. And then week five, the Patriots. I feel like that's – let's talk real quick a little bit about that chunk there. And then right before their bye week, so they got an early bye week again. Yeah. I mean, what do you think of that start? I don't think any of them are 100% loss, no chance, blah blah blah. But I don't look at any of them as they're gonna win. They have to win this game. This is gonna be their win. You know what I mean? It's just where the Lions are at, and this will be the theme heading into the season, all that kind of stuff. It's just it's a show me season. Do we always have hope? Of course we do, but it's probably false hope, and until we are proven right, it is false hope.
Well, even if you have that false hope, I guess the danger in looking at this first chunk of games is saying, "Oh, Eagles, they're nothing special. They have Jalen Hurts; he's not that great." And then Washington, we should beat them. Vikings, we should beat them. Oh man, Seahawks just lost Russell Wilson, and then Patriots are beatable too. Oh, we should be 5-0. That's the worst thing that a fan should do.
Just wait till I do.
Well, no, I know, but we're not an upper echelon team. So stop thinking that we should beat every team that we should beat in your own mind. We will beat.
Yeah.
So I think I look at this stretch of games, and it's definitely there's opportunity.
Yeah, I think best case scenario, 3-2 is possible. And I would say worst case scenario, 1-4 is possible. I really think you're going to land right in that mix there.
I don't think the Vikings are that much better of a team than us. I think they have a better quarterback than we do. That's my own personal opinion.
Yeah.
I think the Patriots have their identity with Mac Jones, and they're probably a little bit farther ahead than we are. Washington, who knows? Their defense could step up this year like everybody thought they were going to do last year. And they do have probably more quarterback talent on that team, or just as good as the Lions. So I would say Lions might come into almost all of these games as the underdog. Maybe not Seattle. That's going to be one
that I think they especially being home.
Yeah.
You get the 3 points with that. I think that's the only one that they would be favored in.
But the other ones, if they can win those games, they definitely can.
Yeah.
Will they? I don't know. But 3-2 would be a great start.
Yeah. So obviously the bye weeks after that, you got Dallas, Miami, first matchup against the Packers, and you got the Bears week 10. You got the Dolphins and Giants and the Bears in there. I mean, those are all – you got three more winnable games, I would say, in this next chunk. Or, sorry, I didn't say the Giants. I'll throw the Giants in there, so it's 10, right? Because that's even 5-5. So, yeah, the Dolphins and Giants and Bears are all winnable games. When you're at home against the Packers, it's stupid to put that as a W, but it is a possible thing. It is. It's a weird scenario here. And I don't know. What are your thoughts on the first 10 games?
This is a tough stretch because of the order of the games, too. So you look at Dallas, good team, playoff team last year. You look at Green Bay, good playoff team last year. And then sandwiched in there, in my mind, is a really underrated Dolphins team who just got a lot better.
Yeah, that's an interesting one for sure. Now
they just got Tyreek Hill.
What they do though could also hit the fan and not work.
Sure, yeah.
You know what I mean?
But they're working with a quarterback on his third year now, or in his third year. Yeah. He should be coming into his own and starting to. You know, their offense is now designed around him, around Tua, and they have weapons like crazy with Tyreek Hill. They've got Jalen Waddle coming back. They have a few other playmakers on their team that are legit playmakers, and so this offense is going to be tough. You know, they could pick us apart pretty easily, especially if you're looking at like our linebacker core and saying, you know, where do we match up here? That's going to be a matchup nightmare for us against that team. And so those are, if we go 0-3 in that small stretch of three games,
Dallas, Miami,
yeah, then that's not like the, that's not, and then going into two road games with the Bears and Giants,
yeah,
that's not momentum that we want to just carry into those winnable games in our mind.
Yep.
So we could look at that again and say, oh, if you pick out, if you just, you know, look at the Dolphins, pick that one, and then Bears and Giants, oh, yeah, we could be 3-2 again in that stretch. That's going to be tough. I'm not picking that in my mind.
Yep.
Kyle said if they win the first three games, we got to book our days off for the Super Bowl parade.
Oh, yeah, I'm in.
First three?
I will be riding high. I'll be coming out of crazy month. With a 3-0 record, like, see ya. Like, I will be.
If we're winning the first three, then we're winning the fourth, too. We're going to be 4-0.
Yeah, 4-0. Then you might as well just put a 5 because they're going to go hard before the bye.
Might as well just
be 5-0.
Yeah.
I just talked you into it.
2014 all over again? That was 6-0 start, right?
Yeah. Right. Oh, my gosh. I was so excited about that one. I think they won one game the rest of the year. next, so the
it wasn't a playoff game.
Thanksgiving. Game against Buffalo. You got the Jags, Vikings again at the Jets. Obviously, you're not going to beat the Buffalo, no matter how good you are. That's the matchup that I think is.
They'd have to be severely banged up. Yeah.
The Buffalo, yeah.
And maybe miss their flight over Thanksgiving holiday or something.
Maybe get snowed into Buffalo or something.
I think Allen would have to be hurt. And
that is
seven other starters.
Kind of a crazy Thanksgiving draw, right? Like matchup, you know, to just go from playing in your division and then like the Patriots or whatever.
It seems like they try to make it a little winnable, but this is not.
No.
I think it's like that Colts game back. Remember that Thanksgiving against the Colts?
Didn't Peyton Manning have like 7 touchdowns or something?
I think he threw 6 in like 2.5 quarters. Didn't even finish the game. Yeah, that was rough. This kind of feels like that. And it might be one of those things where, you know, like the Thanksgiving game, I just heard it's every year it's within the top 5 most watched games in the regular season. So they're just thinking like, hey, look, we don't care. It's the Lions. We don't care about them getting blown out. We just want to showcase the talent that the league has to offer.
Yeah. It's going to be probably the highest watched game in the regular season, honestly. I wouldn't doubt it because people love it. People love watching that game. And then you have a true talented team that's potentially a Super Bowl contender that's worth it. And then you got the Bills, too. So you got you wrap up the season with the Panthers. Bears, and then at Green Bay on January 7th or 8th, up to be determined on time and all that good stuff. But all in all, I feel like this schedule lays out really well for the Lions. And I'm not saying to go out on a run or anything like that, but what I see here are a lot of teams that are in this that we need to know that the Lions are passing. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to go out there and be like, the Lions need to show that they're better than Miami, and this is why, or anything like that. But I want to see where they measure up, not necessarily with the top of the league, but with the teams that are trending in the similar area. Are we better than them? Can we compete with them, or are we still that far behind? You know what I mean? And I feel like with when you're playing teams, let's throw Washington in there. I think the Vikings can be considered that. And then you also have the Seahawks. You have the Dolphins. You have the Giants, the Jags, and the Jets. Panthers. Bears, like,
twice.
that's 10 basically games right there of the teams that you're going to be competing for, either to have one of the worst records in the league and get a high-end draft pick, or taking that next step towards where you want to be. And I like the way that it's playing out in that way, that we're going to learn a lot about this regime this year, whether it's wins and losses. It's just going to be, I look at it and I don't see how we won't have answers about this regime after this year, just the way that the schedule lines up. And then you toss in like the Hard Knocks and stuff like that. We're going to learn a lot about them that way. I'm really excited for this year. I think this time next year we're going to know what we're missing and what, or if it's just never going to work. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I'm excited about this schedule in general. I think it lays out pretty easy, but then, you know, you talk to the Bears fans, they're going to be like, well, we have the Lions on there twice. That's two wins. The Giants are like, hey, that could be our win, but we got the Lions, so that's our win. Seahawks as well. They're like,
they're all
we're not
going to
go
thing.
0-17. We got the Lions on our schedule. So it's like, you know what I mean? Like, they're thinking the same thing the same way we look at them. So I don't know. It's going to be fun. It's fun when it comes out. But what you were going to say something?
Well, I mean, like, even look at a team like the Jets. They have they drafted their quarterback last year. Yeah. He didn't have a great year, but he didn't have that bad of a year either. And he had nobody to work with. He had hardly any receivers to throw to. His running backs, like Michael Carter, was pretty good, but he was a rookie and kind of, you know, wasn't even playing every single game. And then they go out, and in their draft picks, they get Ahmad Gardner, shutdown corner. They get Garrett Wilson, another weapon. They get Jermaine Johnson, one of the best edge rushers, and they get Breece Hall, the first running back off the board. So
they had a great draft.
Yeah, so
they
like
a draft to be excited about. For
well,
sure.
At least the top heavy. Yeah, they crushed that, or a lot of people think that at least. So I, you know, at the same time that we need to understand that the Lions are building something and they're getting better, and not only that, we believe in the coaching staff and, you know, how they can bring this talent or this collective young youthful movement and turn it into something. These other teams are pretty much at the same point of the rebuild as the Lions. So the Jets are getting better right now.
Yeah.
The Giants, not really sure. They might be the one team going backwards, depending on how quarterback plays. But
yeah.
A lot of the teams are in the same direction. I don't think the Jags are anywhere close to that. They might win some games just because of Trevor Lawrence, if he can turn something, you know, special for this second year. But these are not just circle it win games. These are going to be competitive games. We saw the Lions turn into a competitive team second half of the year.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lot of that. It's going to be a lot of the same things we saw last year, just maybe with Aiden strip sacking hopefully somebody down the stretch, or, you know, like something going our way instead of every time going the other way.
Yeah, strip sack, fumble for a touchdown that gets called back or something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
Not that I've seen that happen before.
No, it doesn't happen.
Change a game. Lions are the only team without a primetime game. Do you think that's disrespectful or fair? So that's like what has been a very popular topic in Detroit sports talk. So it definitely wasn't the it wasn't the iPad. anyways, they also have the Thanksgiving game.
I think it's disrespectful. Yeah, they have the Thanksgiving game, but that's not a
prime time
game. Yeah. That's tradition.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think it's completely disrespectful, especially because of Hard Knocks. You're gonna have fans that are gonna care about this.
I thought that was weird. It almost seems like the NFL would benefit from, hey, we have an opportunity with Hard Knocks to promote a team that nobody really knows about or cares about, and all of a sudden we can put them in the spotlight week six. So people are, well, week six is a bad example because that's our bye week, but week five. And people can revisit what they saw at Hard Knocks. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It feels like a missed opportunity. And the fact that they're the only team, it feels like a slight.
Well, right? They have, like, Jags versus, what is it, like, Jags versus Carolina Panthers on there or something on a Sunday night or Monday night game. Like,
yeah,
a really bad matchup. And that's a little bit of a slap to the face. Like, the Jaguars, really? We're going to say they're more marketable than a Dan Campbell-led Lions team that has some
swag.
Yeah, like some decent like draw from the outside at this point. Like, everybody knows what the Lions are doing. They were kind of a laughing stock after the press conference last year, but people tuned in. People cared about this team, you know, at least near the end of the game or end of the season last year.
It's just weird that they didn't even get like a Thursday night game.
I figured they'd get at least a Thursday night game.
Yeah. I mean, you got a lot of bad matchups. I mean, there's some good ones, but then you got like Commanders and Bears. Saints and Cardinals, I guess, could maybe. But, like, I don't know. Eagles, Texans. Texans are in it. I don't know. It seems
Eagles
like
Eagles got a lot.
It seems like they could fit in the, yeah, the Eagles are, that's the weird
well,
one.
Well, and then, like, Denver got a lot. And the fact that,
yeah,
the fact that the NFL came out and said that there's no bias, or you can't trade your way into
you
these.
You can't trade your way or draft your way in.
Yeah.
You got to win your way in.
And yet, like, Russell Wilson gets there, and now they're the league's, like, favorite team.
Yeah, I think week one, I think they're in. Yeah, Monday Night Football, Broncos at Seahawks, which I get.
I'm fine with that one.
That one is understandable. But, yeah, it's just, I don't know, it's just weird. But outside of the division, which are your favorite games for the Lions that you're most intrigued to watch? I mean, I look at the Dallas game. That's always fun because it's fun to kind of beat them when they're, I don't know, if you can. You know what I mean? Those are always one of the fun ones for me. But kind of like I already said, was just like the matchups that you want to know where they line up with the other.
I want to see the Giants. I'm
old.
I want to see Thibodeau versus Aiden. Oh, and I know it's not like a one-on-one thing, but at this point in the year, week 11, you're going to know
a lot about both.
There's going to be a difference in stats possibly, or maybe very similar. And now they're out.
That could be
statement game.
Yeah, no, that'd be sweet. What about you, John? Like, what stands out to you about the schedule?
I'm a huge Josh Allen fan, so like the Buffalo game when it was announced they were playing Buffalo, I was pumped. Not pumped that they're playing on Thanksgiving Day, but outside of that game, I think the next closest one is probably Miami.
Yeah, that one's interesting.
Halloween weekend, you know, it's in Detroit. Detroit fans are crazy. That could be an environment that Tua is not ready for. If Detroit runs off some wins at the beginning of the year and you got that fan base behind you all that extra noise off the hype, that could be a fun game to watch. They just got all the weapons too, like two teams that have, you know, solidified offensive power. I think Detroit's defense probably stacks up better, you know, than Miami's.
Yeah, I think the fun one about that is like say Okuda's having a great start to the year too, and he's healthy, and then you got the Tua Okuda matchup. The people that think, well, you should have took Tua, and you blew it type thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that could be, but like Tua might not even be starting by then too, because they seem to not really like him, even though they are starting to build around him a little bit more. But
I think when Jameson Williams comes back from the injury, I think that's going to be for me. That's going to be a big. Like lying in the sand with the season, and we'll see what this offense looks like.
Do you think
after.
It's going to be after the bye week, or do you think he plays before the bye week?
I think there's a good chance the bye week they use that as bringing him into it. Yes,
yeah.
And even if he's ready to go, I doubt he's ready for week one. I doubt the Lions are going to be that, you know, needy to put him in and risk anything. They were pretty clear in press conferences so far that they're going to just go through their program through the process, and they're not going to rush him back. So, I know Jameson Williams will want to come back from injury, but every player does. And at this point in his career, like, we don't need you week one. We don't care. Just come back whenever you're ready.
And then what is your way too early win-loss prediction as you went through the schedule? Did you have – how many wins, basically, is what I want to know. Do you have – you guys
– I'm totaling it up right now. I want to say 7 wins.
That was the number that I kept getting. And it was, you have a lot of 50-50 games, and I know it's unfair to say, oh, but that was the number that I kept getting. And, like, I talked to other people, they're like, you know, I could see 9 or 10. I'm like, where? I can't get that high on it, even if I am being very optimistic. So 7 is where I keep landing. I don't know why. When we do this before the season, I'm sure I'll be at 11 or 12, but right here, right now, 7 makes the most sense.
I have 11 games where I feel like they could easily win. Mm. But again, they're not going to win all those games that we think they should win or could win. Yeah. So, and I'm not even including like the Patriots on there. I'm not including the Dolphins on there. And, I mean, so there are a lot of winnable games here. I'm thinking 7 feels right to me. A lot of these are on the road, though, so I don't know.
What about you, John?
I think it'll come down to, you know, obviously, right before the season, what we have for, like, a healthy team. You know, let's get through these OTAs and everything, preseason, make sure our guys are ready to go. I'm sitting at, like, 8.5 right now.
Okay.
Leaning towards 9. I got them beating the Seahawks, the Pats, the Dolphins, Chicago twice, the Giants, Jags, Jets, Carolina. And I think there's a couple games in there. I think they could potentially split with Minnesota.
Yeah.
They could pull one off at home.
Oh, yeah.
I think they could beat Washington as well.
I think they split with Minnesota like the last 4 years or something like that.
So, yeah, I mean, that's – and, man, I don't know. Did Green Bay do enough? Did they? Do they have enough?
That is still –
Do they have enough to put up points?
I think they're good. I just think they're good.
I mean, as much as I like Christian Watson, he still dropped the ball more than any other wide receiver, I think, coming out of the draft. You know what I mean? So, like, he has his flaws, and Aaron Rodgers is known to throw in – a difficult ball at times for especially young guys to catch. And he's going to have to trust Christian Watson the second he walks in that door. You know what I mean?
I think it's going to be so easy for them.
You think so?
Yeah. I think he's really good. I'm really high on Watson. And I think the Packers filled some holes on defense too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Rodgers is going to do his thing, right? Yeah. He's going to do his thing against Detroit.
So he's going to complain a lot and then
get face mask when he dips his head.
Yeah, exactly.
I heard something about on the radio just today, actually. The last six games of the season is what everybody's like, loved Jared Goff's performance at the end of last year.
Yeah.
So in the last six games, his touchdown to interception ratio is 11-2.
Yeah.
So, you know, that feels good, sounds good. Putting that into perspective, he threw less than two touchdowns per game during a good hot stretch of football that we that we're like all pumped about, and the fan base is looking at and saying, "Hey guys, you know, he's not that bad. Really good by the end." Really good meaning he was averaging like 1.9, you know, touchdowns per game
with nobody to throw
during a six-game stretch.
Also missing his center.
How many of those were flea flickers?
Two at least in the Packers.
I know. I'm just thinking out loud. Like, you know, I take care of the football. Great. I'm all for not throwing interceptions. Let's not pretend that we have this high octane, crazy kind of offense that looks like the Chiefs.
Just a gunslinger.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's not him.
So I did want to talk a little bit about the primetime games that came out just in the NFL. In general, you got the Thursday night, which is, I think, stream only on Amazon now. That'll be interesting.
We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, it'll be very, yeah. I mean, it can't be bad, I guess, right?
I mean, if enough people don't know how to get to the prime
that's true.
Games or whatever.
Is there any particular matchup that stands out to you? I think, so everybody's really high on the Broncos, like we already talked about. I just don't see it. I don't see how Russell Wilson's going to walk in there and just change everything.
Jerry Jeudy just had something, didn't he?
He just got arrested.
He just got arrested.
Yeah. Interesting.
I think his girlfriend did come out and, like, ask for him to, like, not be charged.
Oh, did she?
So I don't know if he's, like, paying her off.
Oh, I'm sure he is paying her off. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm looking at some of these Thursday night matchups. I'm still just mind-boggled that Detroit didn't draw a game.
Yeah.
But you got... Let's see here. You got, like, you said Eagles, Texans, Falcons, Panthers.
Yeah.
Gosh, what was the other one that I just
saw? Yeah, Falcons, Panthers. Like, that's a terrible matchup.
Commanders and Bears.
Jaguars, Jets.
Commanders, Bears.
Like,
Jaguars, Jets.
Oh, really? Gosh. 16. Week 16 when they're both not, neither one of them want to win.
Yeah, they're not in contention at that point.
They're going after draft picks.
I just feel like you could plug Detroit in any one of those matchups and it just makes it better.
There are a couple good matchups, though.
I would say there are.
I think the Colts Broncos could be. I really like the Colts. The Steelers Browns, obviously a huge rivalry, which could be fun. But then the one that really stands out to me is the Titans at the Packers, week 11. So November 17th. That has the making to be a really fun game heading in. You know, that's one that you don't just turn off right away. You sit back and you watch that game.
Raiders Rams week 14.
That could be interesting.
Yeah, that's when you're starting to really narrow down those playoff teams and like playoff positions. Yeah.
Sunday week 8 Packers Bills.
So the Titans got two Thursday night games and Detroit didn't score
one. You say Packers Bills?
Packers Bills
on Thursday?
Sunday.
Oh, Sunday. Right, Ravens Buccaneers on Thursday. That could be an interesting one too. But yeah, jumping into Sundays though, you got to obviously Buffalo and the Rams starting off the season, which is fun. But then, I mean, those are always be good matchups. Those are always fun, or usually, I should say.
Tampa Bay's got two out of the first four Sunday night games.
Do they really? Two out of the first four? Tampa does?
Week 1 and week 4.
Then they're Thursday week 8, and I'm sure they're Monday night football.
Oh, and then they get a Sunday nighter week 16. This is ridiculous, man. I don't know.
It's obvious what they're doing.
Oh, absolutely. The NFL is making a lot of money on these games.
Yeah, no, it's fun. And then Monday night hopefully gets a little bit better product out there with a – I like Joe Buck. I don't really like Troy Aikman. But Joe Buck does a good job with play-by-play. That I think that will bring a little more cred to the Monday night booth. You obviously got Broncos, Seahawks first week. Then they're doing a back-to-back on week two, which is the first time they've done that. You got Titans, Bills, Vikings, and Eagles. That's new. What do you guys think of that?
Yeah, I heard game one will start and game two will start like 45 minutes later. So both games will be going on at the same time.
So they're going for like the March Madness feel, I think, right?
Yep.
Oh, they just want like the split screen.
We'll see how that goes.
Multiple TVs.
Yeah.
Oh, let's jump back into this game real quick. Yeah. Because that's one of those things where, you know, you had those. It was always the East Coast and the West Coast game whenever they had duo Monday night games.
Yeah.
And people tune out.
Yeah,
for that late night game. Now you can watch both at the same
time. Yeah, you watch the first one, you know, the whole game, and then you get the last, you know, half, really the fourth quarter, and sit back and enjoy that, hopefully. But it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. I mean, is there any other matchups that seemed really interesting to you? I see that they have the Monday Night Football on Sunday, which is weird, but it's week 8, which is the London game. Broncos at Jags. Not that I'm interested in that game, but I don't know. It seems like
Bengals Browns.
It feels like they put a lot more effort into making the people that are like they put a lot more effort into making these marquee matchups in these national televised games. You know, you got a lot of people putting up a lot of money, so reward them with quality matchups.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, real
storylines
like AFC heavy at the end of the year too. Monday night. Back-to-back AFC matchups to end the season between the Chargers and Colts and then Bills and Bengals.
We got to remember that the Browns might have Deshaun Watson too. We still don't know where
that's
that
true.
Really stands.
Yeah, I think so, they have a meeting tomorrow, I think I heard.
Yeah, so if they have Deshaun Watson, you know, that game against the Bengals, that becomes an in-state rivalry that, you know, could have some playoff implications going on.
We do have a Packers fan out there that feels bad for us Detroit Lions fans.
I don't care about Packers fans.
On not having any primetime games.
I don't. You know what? I love the way Dan Campbell reacted to it, though.
Yeah, I tried. I meant to pull up his quotes, and I didn't get it. But he seemed to just be like, good, right?
Yeah, he's like, awesome.
Love
yeah.
that.
We
right?
love that. We love that. We can have a 1 o'clock game, go spank him, and then rest up. And it's like predictable for the guys. He's like, we don't have to sit around in a hotel and wait for it and get all tight and eat and all this stuff. He's like, we could just predictable. 1 o'clock game, go beat them, do our thing, go home, get ready for the next one.
Yeah, and then every single game is a 1 o'clock start except for Thanksgiving, which is 12:30.
Yeah.
Every game.
And
usually
then,
you get those 4:15 starts, you know what I mean? And it just throws off my day. Like, Andrea is so confused when I'm like, why aren't you watching the Lions? I'm like, well, it's later. And she goes, oh, shoot, I planned this. I'm like, sorry. No
West Coast games.
No, yeah, it's weird, right?
And then he came back out and just like threw in the, well, you know, weeks 5 through 15 are all flex games. So
that's true, yeah.
We could always be flexed. He's like, we could be flexed. Don't worry about it. We could be flexed.
Yeah. Like, so, I mean, the last weekend of the season.
Yeah.
Packers, Lions.
There
could
you
be
go.
For all the marbles here.
Hey, for the division. For the North, yeah.
It's possible. It's happened before.
King of the North.
Man, that'd be fun.
Yeah, it'd be sweet.
It'd be fun to knock Rodgers out. Of the playoffs.
Especially with this team. It'd be hilarious.
It'd be awesome. You want to do a bumper and just do the mic thing?
Yeah, sure.
Drinking craft beer, having fun, and talking sports in the state of Michigan. You're listening to State of My Sports.
I used to test that when I had to, but now I never have to. Now I should remember to do that again next time. I don't know if the... Did I put the cords in the wrong spot? Like, what did I do?
Yeah, I don't know. We shouldn't troubleshoot now, though.
No?
Or should we spend the next 25 minutes doing that?
I got time. Let's do it.
Okay.
Yeah, let's figure it out. No, but so obviously tomorrow is the Detroit Pistons and the NBA lottery, May 17th, which will be at 7 o'clock on the ESPN. It feels a little different this year. I'm going to kind of toss it to you guys and really get your thoughts. I look at it as not as important, not as... big of a deal to get number one than I feel like it was last year. But what I really want to know for you guys is, like, where is that drop-off? And if I am wrong and you want to get that number one pick, obviously you want the number one pick, so you get your choice, right? That's a stupid thing to say that we don't want the number one pick. But where's that drop-off in that line of, okay, if we don't get a top six pick or if we fall into six, like, where's that line of, like, we are going to miss out on our guy because we fell in this lottery? That's what I want to know, so I can sit and watch this and be like, all right, yeah, we fell to four, but we're still going to get X, Y, and Z, or still have a chance at a certain player that'll make this team better. So I have the lottery odds here. I'll go through that, and then I'll kind of toss it off to you. Does that work?
Go for it.
So the odds are, the odds for the top three picks are the same for the top three or four picks odds, basically. So for the number one pick, 14% chance. Number two pick, 13.4. Number three pick, 12.7. Number four pick, 12% chance. And then it's a huge, basically, you for the Pistons, you can go anywhere between 1 and 7. So to kind of round out 5, 6, and 7, pick 5 is 14.8% chance. Pick 6, 26% chance, which obviously has the highest number, so that's where I'm looking. But then a 7% chance of falling to the number 7 overall pick. It's a similar situation. Obviously, we had the best odds last year, right? So if everything falls the way it should, like, we should be a third pick. But I guess where are you guys looking here? What are the names that you're most interested in not missing out on, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to split the draft up into two tiers in my mind. It's not the same tier as far as, like, level of play or ability in any way, but I think you have to look at the big players, and then you have to look at the guards and the guards and wings types. So the bigs and really the consensus top three in this draft are Chet Holmgren, Jabari Smith, and Paolo Banchero. And so those are the big guys. Each one is 6'10". Jabari Smith, I've seen more of 6'11", and he's a shooting guy. And then Chet Holmgren is 7-footer, and he's skinny as a rail. So what's hard about this draft is it's not just like if you miss on one guy, the next guy fills that same need, because I feel like the talent is so unique for each one of these three types of players at the top. And there is not a consensus, because each one could fill the need that each team's looking for. And Chet Holmgren specifically is just such a rare, unique combination and body type that we've never really seen work in the NBA, that it just makes it such a hard prediction. It makes it a hard projection into the NBA from, you know, high school and college. And it's just a rare situation in my mind. And then after those guys, it's all guards. So if you do miss out on the top 3-4, then good luck. Like, your strategy of maybe building with a big guy to pair with Cade Cunningham is just, it's out the window. It's not going to be there.
John, is there, like, who are you looking at here?
Well, I definitely don't want to see him fall out of the top four. I think
that's your number.
I think you want a top four draft pick. I think you want to reach at four. You know, if it's a Jaden Ivey, I take him. It would be nice to get a guy with size. I'd like to see him go, honestly, with Paolo. I think he's the best fit for the NBA at this point. Chet Holmgren's 8 inches taller than me, and I got a couple pounds on the guy. And that's scary.
Yeah, that is
scary. I'm a skinny dude. I break down. I get hurt. And I just don't want to see him waste a pick on a guy like him. But I don't know, Keegan Murray, like, if you do slip and you land a guy like that too, I mean, he's got all the tools to play in the NBA. But I guess I'm kind of looking at that tier two that you got here on the list, picks 3 and 4, Paolo and Jaden Ivey, if possible.
I think Jabari Smith, and this is also, I think the other part of this is, where depending on where they fall in the draft, it really could impact the way that we build this team long term. Because if you can get a guy like Jabari Smith, let's just say that, he could be a direct replacement for Jeremy Grant, because that's the type of athlete that Detroit doesn't want to give up with Jeremy Grant. Jeremy Grant's a freak of an athlete. He's 6'8", 6'9", super long wingspan. He can jump, he can guard, he can move laterally. He can shoot here and there. Like, his shot selection, everybody knows his shot selection is not very good. It needs to get better, and it does for stretches, but not over the course of a season. But Jabari Smith really could be a direct replacement, and maybe even just an immediate upgrade or maybe year two upgrade to, you know.
Is that how you would handle this draft, is finding the replacement for the Jeremy Grant? Well, rather than going big man that everybody expects, right? Everybody's expecting, you need a center that can do X, Y, and Z, because that's what Pistons, that's what it looks like. They need that extra length, right?
Well, and
is it more or less like finding a way to replace him?
Well, and that's the question, because and I don't know if I have a really good answer, because if you don't get Jabari Smith, are you going to replace Jeremy Grant with Chet Holmgren? No, that's like a it's not a direct comparison, right? And then that's going to mess up or at least change our dynamic between our power forward and center combinations that we have right now on the team. Paolo Banchero is more of a Blake Griffin type of player where he might be a really good athlete, but he doesn't – and we're talking like Pistons Blake Griffin, not jump out of the gym Blake Griffin. Yeah. But a ball handler who might slow the game down a bit, but – will try to dissect the defense, you know, when he has the ball, by making the right decision or you know, power through somebody and score and get an and one or whatever. And he has shooting ability too. But I guess what the Pistons, I think the dilemma they're in is if they go with Chet Holmgren, Paolo Banchero, and maybe Keegan Murray, they might actually become slower in the end.
Okay.
And with their team speed, because, you know, Cade Cunningham is a really good athlete, but he's a slower, really good athlete.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean by that? He plays in control. He's not a Jaden Ivey, just like speed demon, right?
Do we need someone that can
I don't
do
know.
That?
I don't know. Yeah. And if you're looking at a guard and the Pistons think they need to build through that, you know, like get somebody smaller or even a wing like Keegan Murray, they're all in tier two. So it's not like we're losing out on this talent, but I think the ability of getting a Paolo, Jabari Smith, Chet Holmgren, and deciding between those three guys versus the guards really will tell the story on where the Pistons are trying to push this rebuild.
Now, remind me, there was a report towards the end of the year that a specific team was like, hey, if we fall in this draft spot, we could use that to trade for Jeremy Grant. Do you guys remember who that was? And where they land in this lottery thing?
Yeah,
I feel like it was the Blazers, right?
Portland, yeah.
Yeah.
So their odds to get the first overall pick is 9.2, 9.4, 9.6. Then you got 8.6. So they're probably going to land in a top 8 pick based on the odds. They have a 3.7% chance, 9.1% chance at 10. So with a top 8 pick, like, do you think that's still a possibility where the Pistons could walk away with two top 8 picks? And then what do we do? And I know that's time will tell, but I'm interested. Does that change what you do with your first pick because you have 8?
Yeah, I think if you get two top 8 picks, you got to go Jaden Ivey, and I think you got to go Jalen Duren from Memphis. He's a guy that I think he's got the opportunity to score. He's got to work.
He's the center, a little undersized center, right?
Yeah, he's got to work. He's got to work on his jump shot, but the guy gets up and down the court with ease. Yeah.
Even a guy like Shaedon Sharpe. Like, Shaedon Sharpe is really the question mark in the whole draft. Like, he really could have been the early favorite for next year's number one overall pick.
Okay.
And he's 6'6", 200 pounds. He looks like an NBA player already. He's got this kind of, like, fadeaway type of game already, like, pretty polished-looking scoring machine.
Yeah.
And so is that a guy that you want to invest in, too, with Cade Cunningham? And now you have a big front court or back court, I guess, where Cade Cunningham 6'7", Shaedon Sharpe 6'6", 6'7", combination as your guards moving forward, and then your forwards are Jeremy Grant and Sadiq Bey, pretty big, like, formidable group that can all switch and change out, and then Isaiah Stewart as a center, like, you could literally switch between your center and your point guard and not really see any difference in defensive ability.
Yeah.
I don't know. There, and that's where the question mark comes in. If they trade Jeremy Grant and they get a top 8 pick, that can also change things because you would target a big early and then you can get your the rest of them. I think I just swallowed like a bug. That was weird.
Is there a guy that you're like, no go? That just, like, you hope that we don't land the number one pick and take him because it's not who you want, John?
Chet Holmgren all day.
You don't want him?
I don't. No. I don't, man. And, like, it showed in the tournament. Like, yeah, he's freakish in size, and he is kind of quick for his length. And he blocks a lot of shots when they were playing teams, you know, seeded 16 and 8 and 9.
Yeah.
And then he disappeared. You know, he literally disappeared, didn't score. And I don't think he's going to translate to the NBA. You got guys like Giannis. You got guys like Nikola Jokic. And then you got Chet Holmgren. Those are two different beasts.
Yeah.
And I don't think Chet can compete with guys like that.
I just don't.
Embiid, you know, these guys in the East, Embiid.
Yeah, I think you put him in a playoff scenario, and you could pick a power forward, like any almost any team would have a power forward or small forward that could push him around. So I don't. He's such a unique guy, though. Like, I don't think you all automatically pass on that talent because he has a rare ability to move around the court, handle the ball like a guard, play defense and shot block. I mean, he has great shot blocking instincts.
Yeah, he was like a point guard in high school, too.
Yeah.
At like 6'8", 6'9", and all his AAU clips, too. You watch, I mean, he's a bona fide player, but
I don't know if the NBA knows how to play with him, though.
And I think when you look back on, like, big guys coming out of college like that, none of them have been able to just dominate the NBA. I still think we're seeing guys from overseas with size.
Yeah.
That are just better, well-rounded players with all the tools needed to score, defend, and stay in the game.
I didn't notice that there's not any overseas guys in the top 10, at least in this thing. So that's a little different.
Oh, they always kind of make their names
after like
late.
after the combine and stuff.
Yeah,
there's only a couple though that I've seen that are in like the lottery conversation.
Well, it'll be fun. If the Pistons can go back to back on lottery, that wouldn't hate anything like that.
From the Red Wings to Michigan State. Talking about it. This is State of My Sports.
Actually, forgot my pen. Did you bring a pen with you?
I got one over here.
Nice. All right, so we can do our picks for the thing. But let's explain bettinghero.com. Ryan, can you explain that, please?
Yeah, of course. Bettinghero.com. This is the best way to support the podcast. You go to bettinghero.com, promo code MIBETS, and they will give you all the best promo codes available for whatever sports betting platform that is your go-to at this point. So we think the best way to bet is to take advantage of all the free money out there that they're just trying to get you sucked in. If you sign up for all of them at the same time, you'll get all the best promo codes all at the same time, right? And then you can get a lot of free money out of it. So go to sportsbettinghero.com, promo code MIBETS. Go support the podcast. I'll do it tonight. I'll finally support the podcast tonight.
Yeah?
Nah, probably not.
No, he won't.
I'll do it tomorrow.
A friend of mine will. No. All right, so I can't really do the music unless it will sound good. Let's try it.
If it's in the background.
It's going to be real in the background. Is it worth it, John? What do you think? better than nothing?
It's better than nothing.
All right, sounds good. So we're going to do our PGA Championship foursome draft. John, you are going to go last today because you smoked us last time.
I'm all right with that.
Ryan, you want to do rock, paper, scissors, see who goes first?
Yeah.
Best of one.
Best of one. Scissors, shoot.
All right, Ryan goes right, first.
I go first.
I love how we didn't even say it.
Again, good radio.
Good stuff.
Crushing it.
Good stuff. All right, so PGA Championship. Is that a major or is that the fourth major? Is that what they call like the fake major?
It is a major.
It is a major.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right, Ryan, you are on the clock.
All right, my pick is in. They can't hear it. I'm just going to say it. I'm going to go with Scottie Scheffler. Might as well.
Right. All
right. Right, he's coming off some big wins. It's hot. All right,
my pick is in. I'm doing it out of habit, okay?
That's fine.
Just let it happen. I'm going to go Colin Morikawa.
Dang it.
Let's go. No idea if I said it right or if I even, yeah.
If I didn't take Scheffler, would you have taken him?
Probably, yeah. All right, John, back to back. So I guess you kind of get the benefit of the doubt. Like, that's not bad to get the next two.
He's doing all right. He's doing good.
He'll be fine. He'll still win the whole dang thing, I'm sure.
All right, my two picks are in.
All right, who you got?
Give me another Johnny Rahm.
Rahm.
And then my pick is in.
I bet.
Justin Thomas.
Ooh. Thomas. All right.
This is a ball striking course. Justin Thomas is the best ball striker.
Where is this one at? Is this TPC Sawgrass? Is this one?
No, this one's in Oklahoma, drawing a blank. something, Windham Hills or something. Tiger won it in 07 there.
Oh, really? So he's going to win again this year?
Yeah, last time.
He is playing this year, right?
He is.
And Mickelson is not. What's that?
You taking him?
Tiger?
Yeah.
No.
No.
Are you?
Be awesome if I took him. And he won.
All right, my pick is in. Oh, there's John Rahm. Okay, I'm going to, and there's Justin. You said Justin Thomas?
Correct.
All right, I'm going to go with Jordan Spieth.
He's hot. He missed the cut and then came back strong.
He's a good golfer, too.
Yep.
I mean, he's the he's the best putter on tour, so you're not going wrong with a guy like that.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Thanks for the support. I love it.
Mm-hmm. He's done some things with his swing lately. But
I don't like that.
I'm pretty disappointed that you took him, actually. No, it's improved. He's looking good.
I don't like when people change, though.
Except if you change from bad to good.
That's true. Right? It's beneficial to most people.
My pick is in.
All right.
Back to back.
I will go with Cameron Smith.
Okay. Can't. I don't know where he is on here.
All right. And then my second pick is in. I'm going Victor Hovland.
Hovland?
Whatever.
I've heard it both ways.
I had both of them in the Masters.
Pick. Did you?
With Scottie Scheffler.
Must be why.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I had no idea.
I can't find Hovland here either. All right. Well.
Not that far down.
Look, all right. I don't want Rory McIlroy, but I'm going to take him anyways.
It's a good pick.
Yeah. Why would you not want him?
Because I don't know. I don't really like his
face. I think he's got two PGA championships under his belt.
Does he?
Yeah. All
right, I like it now. Great pick, Sam.
I also love it because I get to go back to back again.
Get the guys you really wanted, right?
DJ just won it a few years ago. Give me Dustin.
Dustin, newly married Johnson.
Yes, his wife is looking great. Also, by the way,
no pun intended, right?
Alex Fiedo's fiance. Wow.
Yeah?
Really?
Wow.
Hey, Alex Fiedo's right there. 83 pitches, 5 2/3, 1 earned run.
Wow.
Wow.
Oh, the lights just got shut off. We're talking about.
Yeah, and he's like,
great podcast stuff, guys, says Carrie.
That's a wrap.
All right, so I got DJ. Man, I'm going to reach down the list here a little bit.
Oh, boy. You always like to pull one out of your butt.
Yep. Well, okay. he's come up short in a couple big tournaments lately, but give me Will Zalatoris.
Zalatoris. He came hot that one year, right? And he's sucked ever since. Right? No?
I mean, he's only been on the tour for like 3 years or something.
What's DeChambeau doing these days?
He might not even play, I heard.
I think he's still just trying to swing the club too fast and is unwilling to like go back to, you know, legitimate golf. But
all right.
He's got a lot of sponsorship money, so I don't think he's focused.
I'm going to make my last pick because it's in.
All right.
And I'm going to take Hideki Matsuyama. Because I was going to take Xander Schauffele, because I always take Xander Schauffele, but he screwed me last time in multiple ways, and I don't want that to happen again.
Him and Patrick Cantlay dominated in that duels match.
I saw that.
Yeah, the Dell match play.
Yeah. My phone just knows that I like Xander Schauffele. I think it just tells me how he's doing, and he's dominating.
I've read a couple articles.
Don't bet on him.
Yeah, a lot of bettors are
big on him.
Leaning on him heavy. Yeah.
So should I switch to Schauffele?
I mean, it's too late. You already said it.
You took Morikawa already, right?
No, I didn't.
Did anybody?
Yo.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did.
Sam did. He's got Morikawa and Matsuyama.
Yeah. Oh, man. I got the.
Yeah. All right, my pick is in. Last one.
Yes.
I'm taking Patrick Cantlay.
Cantlay.
Boom, there boom. It is.
That is the draft.
If it's craft beer in Michigan sports, we may not be the authority, but we love both like a fat kid loves cake.
Hot, hot!
This is State of My Sports.
It was a bit abrupt.
Did I cut it?
I don't know.
That's what it is.
Yeah, you did. You cut it. It's all right, though. It works.
We're moving along. Are we under 2 hours, John?
Oh, yeah.
Let's go.
We are cruising.
Nice. Cruising for a bruising.
It's that Monday night difference.
Yes.
Yeah. Micah. Like, Micah's the talker.
Yeah. I always knew he was the problem.
Yeah. you like everybody, the Monday thing, though?
I've always been interested in Monday.
Yeah.
But all right, so I know we talked about like those horse racing odds last week, right? 80-1.
Yeah.
I guess I'm gonna throw out one golfer that maybe fell low in the ranks and high in the odds. Abram Answer, look out.
Abram Answer.
Yep, he fits this course.
He might
well
be the answer.
It's a great ball striker, great wedge game.
Did you ever pull up how many lakes are in Michigan and how many lakes are in Minnesota?
According. These numbers are kind of varying. Minnesota 15,291, Michigan 11,000 named lakes.
I'd be curious if they have a different definition of lakes, though.
They have so many pond like
yeah,
I think
lakes.
Which if we counted our ponds, we would smoke them.
I don't know. They have a lot. It's a big state too.
I know.
And according to several links that I clicked on, don't okay. quote my sources, but Alaska has over 3 million unnamed lakes.
Holy smokes.
Now, a lake is considered 5 acres of size or larger
okay.
in Alaska.
Whoa.
Wow.
Five acres.
That's
insane. That's a pond, right?
I mean,
that's around
pretty
here,
big.
A 5 acre lake?
I mean, would like the lakes, like the man-made lakes count? In, like, Hudsonville area?
This was all, like, named lakes.
Yeah.
It says that Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Michigan, 1, 2, and 3, but okay. that Alaska has over...
Way more.
Over,
yeah. Unnamed lakes.
Unnamed, yep.
Man, we should name one. How do we do that?
State of My Sports.
Yeah, State of My Sports, Alaska edition.
Double hutch.
State of Al Sports.
Isn't it AK?
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Is it AL? AL is AK. Alabama, right?
I thought it was Yeah, you're right. AL is Alabama. AK is
yeah. There's
Arkansas,
actually.
Isn't it?
I did
no,
a.
Arkansas is AR.
Is it?
Yeah.
I did a.
I'm so bad at this.
There was a. I did a.
That's
a
crap.
Test,
where you at?
Like a quiz for all this stuff.
Yeah.
For state abbreviations.
Man, I was. Yeah, I would not do good with that. I used to be really good with capitals, though.
Capitals?
Yeah. I used to be really good with capitals. I doubt I am anymore.
We got to try this Barbarian Haze IPA.
Yeah?
From Three Floyds.
So that's what Carrie was drinking?
Yep.
Three Floyds. Did she ever say where that was at?
I asked, but she didn't.
Man, Carrie. By the time we're doing ours, she should say
that we had some great podcast stuff earlier.
Wait, really?
Yeah. I forget if we were talking probably Pistons.
It was a good podcast, she said?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you. We're just cruising
right along.
It's the nicest thing anybody said.
First time that's ever happened. Yeah.
Just waiting on you, Carrie.
First compliment. Where's
Three Floyds from? I could look it up. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, that's a good point. You have a Google right in front of you.
It's a brew pub. They must have good food, right? Don't brew pubs have, like, good food?
I don't know, honestly.
Typically, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, they want to bring people in.
Brew pub? What's the difference between a brewery and a brew pub?
Brew pub, where they focus on your experience while you're there.
Yeah?
Yeah, bring them in.
All right. Interesting. Speaking of interesting, we are drinking. A good transition there. I always got to point it out.
Yeah, I know.
I'm trying to pull it. All right, we got Haze You Guys, which is an experimental. That's a really hard word to read.
Experimental.
Annex. Experimental. An experimental. So it's not a...
An experimental.
Oh, okay. All right. No. All right. We'll look at it on their website. It's one word, an experimental.
Ah, got it. Okay.
IPA brewed with Idaho 7 and Centennial hops. This smooth beer is chock full of orange, melon, and resiny notes, 6.7% alcohol by volume, 60 IBUs. It's available in the tap room, also at other specialty beer places. Very, very good beer. All right, Pigeon Hill is in Muskegon, Michigan, which is, a good up-and-coming area, I would say, right? They've been up for a while, but
they're redoing it.
They're doing a good job.
Yeah. Get rid of the paper plant and some of the other stuff there that was just kind of the worst
dirtying
part of Muskegon.
Yeah,
it's got a lot cleaner.
So what do you guys think? I love the citrusy flavor.
It's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say, yeah.
So good that I finished a while ago.
Yeah. Well, we need a sponsor so we can afford more beer.
Yeah.
So we can all just drink more.
I'll let you know.
During an episode. Yeah, seriously, that's a good point. That's
well, it is
it's your fault we ran out.
It's Monday.
It is Monday. You
know, yeah. Tuesdays, we probably would drink more.
Yeah, that's true.
If we do a Thursday show, then we all know we're in trouble.
Good luck.
I'm down. Yeah. The funny thing is I always say, we'll talk to you next week, if not sooner, because I always wanted it to become a multiple day podcast. And it,
is that
like,
the reason?
Yeah, it is the reason. Because I was like, maybe someday we'll just do a 2-episode week. So I don't want to say we'll talk to you next week and then do another episode. And I've just continued to say it. And I should probably stop because I don't think it's ever going to happen.
And not with me. Yeah.
So unless we expand our beer geographies, we may not be having any Three Floyds.
What?
Munster, Indiana.
Oh.
It's not even a Michigan beer?
I guess not.
Brutal.
But yeah. The Barbarian Haze is the first listed beer on their
yeah
menu. Yeah. So it must be their staple.
I wonder if it's like one of those breweries that does both, though. Like, that's because we did Greenbush. Remember Greenbush?
Oh, yeah.
Where, like, that was like early on of our Siciliano's relationship. They're like, here, try this one. And I was reading the can. It's like, this is Chicago.
Chicago, yeah. This one.
But they also have a brewery in Michigan. So, like, I wonder if it's like something like that, one of those goofy things. But your letter carrier just screwed up. And it is what it is.
Could be.
What grade she give it? Did she already tell us the grade?
A 7.4.
7.4?
It's a pretty good grade for
what would
a
beer. You guys, what would you guys give your haze, you guys?
Haze, you guys. I'm going 8.4.
8.4?
Yeah. Really good grade. This is solid.
Yeah. It is a very good beer. I love the citrusy right now. Like, yeah. That's hitting the spot. I think I've been... And I like how clean the haze is. You know what I mean? It's not like a heavy haze.
Yeah.
It's just a really crisp, smooth, very like citrusy beer. I don't know. I really like it. I'm going to go with a 8.2.
Nice.
What'd you say?
8.4.
I thought you said 8.4. I was going to say 8.4. I was like, I can't copy him, so I'm going to go 8.2.
It's kind of like in between like maybe an Oberon or like a, I don't want to say Summer Shandy because that's its own.
Yeah, I wonder if this would class. Be garnished with like good with a orange. I mean, there's orange in it, right? Didn't they say?
Kind of like a mix between that and maybe like a Tangerine Space Machine, right? Like that's kind of an easy to drink,
yeah.
Hazy, juicy. Nailed it. Yeah, I love that beer. What did the policeman say to his belly button?
Is Jarrett on?
Jarrett is live.
Oh, gotta gosh. Be.
What did the policeman say to his belly button? I have no idea.
Yeah. I don't know.
We'll find out next week.
If not sooner.
You're under a vest.
You're under a vest. Okay. All right.
Instead of under arrest.
I put that together. Thanks. Thanks for clearing it up, though, John.
Yeah, no problem.
So funny.
I'm just glad he's not talking a bunch of crap this week.
Yeah, that's positive. Now that you said that, we should probably sign up before he starts. So.
Joke of the month.
Yeah.
That's because he saw joke that trade. Of the month. Yeah. He finally understood what the Vikings gave up for that trade. So.
Took him a while, but he got there. He got there.
Whale to the victors, he says.
Whale.
What does a fish from a Michigan lake sing? Whale to the victors.
Whale, that's not even a fish.
It's fresh water up here, Jarrett. Stop drinking that salt water. Stop.
Anyways, that was episode 157?
8.1.
Oh, sorry. 8.1.
8.1.
That was episode 1. Thank you guys for recording. Thank you all for watching and listening. Sooner. Talk to you next week, if not sooner.
You've been listening to State of My Sports.
Peace.
From the Red Wings to the Lions, to the Tigers, to the Pistons, to Michigan and Michigan State, and everything in between, we're talking about it. And don't forget the beer. We hope you enjoyed the show. Make sure to like, rate, and review. In the meantime, hook up with us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Twitch at State of My Sports with an MI. We'll see you next time.